Appreciate the service so far, the song service. Appreciate Brother Kenny's humble prayer, and I still stand in need of your prayers. Again, I'm up here only by the grace of God, and I stand in need of his help, and anything I say of benefit to you, well, you should give all the glory and praise to the Lord. Mention was made about my schedule. I'm every year at this time, I one of my clients, the Telephone Co-op Association, has their national meetings, and somebody ratted on me one time, and I've been asked to do their church service on Sunday morning the last two or three years, and so I'm scheduled to do that again next Sunday in Orlando, so I will miss my appointment at Midland, but I'll be back normally on the first and third Sundays, Sister Elaine, so if you're down there, we'll see Brother Chris. Well, I should be down there first and third Sundays, other than this upcoming third Sunday. I'm going to have a little bit of an overlap for those of you here. We're here Wednesday night. I'm going to talk a little bit on the same subject, but get into it a little bit more in depth. Our Wednesday night service got me thinking and studying a little bit more about one of the issues there. Today I want to go back, as I do from time to time, back into the Old Testament. And when I'm seeing back, I'm talking way back, as far back as you can go, and that's Genesis 1 and 1. Starts off, in the beginning, and y'all know this for those here Wednesday night with me that we talked a little bit about this, but I want to get into this a little bit more about this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. If it was the beginning, it was the beginning. But did anything happen before that beginning? It's kind of a oxymoron, isn't it? How can something have a beginning before it has a beginning? We're told in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that was the beginning. Was that the beginning of God? Couldn't have been the beginning of God, was it? Because God, we know, lasts from eternity to eternity. So I'm kind of like, if any of you have seen some of the Hollywood movies, the Disney movies, there's one, a Toy Story, I remember. There was a character in there called Buzz Lightyear, the astronaut. And his slogan was, we're going to go to infinity and beyond. Well, that's what I want to do today is, in a little bit, I want to lay a little bit of groundwork. Then we're going to talk about going to back to eternity and beyond. When was the beginning and what was it the beginning of? And how do we know it's the beginning when we're all, I see everybody shaking their heads when I say, well, did God exist before Genesis 1 and 1? And I see a lot of people shaking their hands. Well, if it says it's the beginning, then why is it the beginning if God was there even before that? So that's what I want to do. I want to talk to you a little bit about what's taking place here, and I want to overlap a little bit with what we talked about Wednesday night. But the purpose of this today, I hope that you'll see, I hope we can demonstrate the power, the wisdom, the majesty, the glory, and the sovereignty of God. I mean, I hope, thank you, if we'll stop, and I hope that we can make you think this morning about the greatness of God. We really can't fathom his greatness and his majesty, but I hope in just looking in his creation here that we can see how great and how majestic he is and how good he is to us through that. And also look at the foolishness of men when we think we can help him do something. Or the foolishness of man when we think we can determine something that he has already determined. If we think we can control what he is in complete control of, we'll see we have very little control, but we are wholly dependent upon him, and thank goodness we are, because he loves us with a power that we cannot imagine and don't know what to do with. You know, sometimes man thinks he understands the world. We think we understand and comprehend the world, and you know, they go back and they look at time and they try to determine when time began, and they think, well, the world is millions of years old. If we look at the Bible and look at the signs that he's given us in the Bible, we see that the world from the Bible is about 6,000 years old, 2,000 years since the birth of Christ and 4,000 years prior to that. Well, how do we end up with these prehistoric figures that are underneath there and buried underneath there? They had to be there millions of years. And the question is, can God make a million-year-old rock? Can he make a 30-year-old man, a 20-year-old man? Well, he made Adam, didn't he? And Adam wasn't a baby. He made him as a full-grown man, he and Eve. Talk about, you know, we hear the word prehistoric. What would prehistoric be? Well, history begins right here with Genesis 1 and 1. If it's prehistoric, it's before that. Well, there's no such thing as prehistoric. We don't have any way to know prehistoric except by this book. And I hope we see it before we end today. We'll see that there are a few prehistoric things of God. But that's the only way we know it is because of the Word of God. Let's go through this. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I do want to go through a little bit of groundwork here beginning at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We hear here that, first of all, paragraph starts off, God created the heavens and the earth. And then immediately it says, but the earth was without form and void. This has caused a lot of controversy because they say there's a big gap between verse 1 and verse 2. It's called the gap theory. Because if God created the heavens and the earth, he created them. And then something happened here in the middle that caused it, the earth, to be without form and void. Something caused it harm. And they come up with this gap theory and they say that's when Satan destroyed the earth. And it's when Satan fell as one of God's angels. And that's responsible for the gap. And then God had to come back here and rebuild it. I don't believe that, but just so you know, that's where that comes from. And just for a matter of education, that's one of the big controversies that lays out there is between verse 1 and verse 2, right off the bat, and this is all man's thinking, that there's a big gap. But the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, it says, and God said, now look, all God has to do is give the word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, he hadn't created the sun yet, has he? Where'd the light come from? Came from God. Well, right in the previous paragraph, it talked, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. Where did the darkness come from? For those of you who have your Bible, you can go back with me, but I'll turn real quick because I'm going to come back. Go to Isaiah chapter 45 and 7. Well, I won't go there. Verse 45 and 7 of Isaiah, it said, God said, he created the darkness. He created the darkness, and he created the light, and he divides the two, and we'll see that. Verse 4, and God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He's divided the light from the darkness. And we'll see more of that in a minute, but it's interesting to see how he did that because it's really pretty simple, and you know this, how he does it in a minute when he creates the sun. But, you know, I was talking a minute ago about how people think they start to understand the world and how it works. Go with me, those of you who haven't have your Bibles, go back to Job with me, the book of Job, chapter 38. Job is in his misery here, and he challenges God. God, why are you doing this? And starts asking all these questions. Gets over here to chapter 38, and the Lord finally steps forward and says, now, Job, you've been asking me all these questions. Let me ask you a few questions. And over chapters 38, 39, and 40, the Lord asks 83 questions of Job. And he starts off like this. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Where were you when I created the world? Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, tell me what the measures of the earth are. Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Who hath stretched the line upon it? I mean, he gets over here in a minute and he talks about, I separate the light from the darkness. You ever seen a satellite picture of the earth? I've got a little living earth on my laptop that I can do it. And I can spin the earth and see where it is in any place in the world at one time. And you go along there and you see where day changes into night. There's a real clear dividing line on the earth. Divides darkness from light. The Lord did that. He said, I'm the one that laid that out. I'm the one that set daylight from darkness apart. Lord goes here in Job and he says, let me ask you a few more questions. When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, I made the clouds, the garment of the earth, and the thick darkness, swaddling band for it. Where is the way where the light dwelleth, and us for darkness? Go down to verse 24. And by what way is the light parted, which scattereth east wind upon the earth? Again, you can look and you can see this line running north and south, dividing east from west, darkness from daylight. Go to verse 33. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? What size is heaven? How is it laid out? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds and to the abundance of waters that cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. Can you control the clouds, the lightning, the thunderstorms? Who put wisdom in your inward parts? How do you know what you know? How do you know the ability to think? Who hath given thee understanding to the heart? How does your heart work? How does your brain work? How does our bodies work? We're all a creation of Lord. This body is the most magnificent creation ever. Think of what you can do. I mentioned that. How can I even see? I don't know how I see you. I don't know how that works. I mean, even if you break the parts apart, I can't tell how it works. I don't know how I hear. I don't know why I can speak. You can understand me. I don't know how I can hear through vibrations in my ear. I don't know how I can just say, wiggle, little finger, and little wiggle. I don't know how that works. It's the greatest engineering feat. The Lord did that. Did that in the beginning. Again, that's one thing we need to do is pause and recognize His magnificence and His majesty, because when we do that, then we start to realize where we are on the scales and how dependent we are on Him. And not only are we dependent on Him, how He takes care of us, how He covers for us. Verse 38, when the dust grows in the hardness and the clots cleave fast together, who causes a clot of dirt to stick together? He says, who provideth the raven his food? Chapter 39, verse 13. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks? Who decorated the peacocks? Or the wings and feathers to the ostrich? And I love this one, verse 19 of chapter 39. Hast thou given the horse strength? Who gave strength to the horse? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder and made him so strong? And who has made him afraid of the grasshopper? You know, as big as we are, there's many of us still afraid of mice. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? He controls everything. You know, he goes through here and he asks 83 questions of Job. And I would encourage you, if you get the opportunity, to read chapter 38, 39, and 40. And you'll begin to understand how little we don't understand and how foolish it is for us to think we can do in any way, help God do anything. He is in complete control. Let's go back to Genesis 1 and 1 where we were. He divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. If you wonder where the Jewish got their laws that the day begins at sunset, it's right here. The evening and the morning were the first day. It begins in the evening under Genesis chapter 5. Verse 5. Verse 6, and God said, again, all he has to do is speak, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. When earth was created, it was a big ball of water. He said, now let's create a firmament in the middle, and let's divide the waters from the waters. Waters on top and waters on bottom, and the firmament in the middle. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Split them in half. And God called the firmament heaven. And in this case, he's talking about the skies and space. And the evening and the morning of the second day. The second day, he's created the firmament. First day, the earth and the water of all of it. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. We've got the waters, the heaven, the waters underneath waters. Let them be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. He caused the waters to pull back from the dry land on the piece underneath. He said, we're going to call that earth. You ever notice how the tides work? If you've ever been to the ocean, you see how the tides work, how they go in and recede back. All began right here. It's when he receded the waters from the land. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. He's now created the sky, the earth, and the seas. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is within itself. God knew exactly what he was doing. Peach tree has a seed inside it. I mean, the peach does. The apple has seed inside it. All these trees that have the seed inside them so that they'll reproduce going forward on their own. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. God has created now the very basic things, the sky, the earth, and the seas. Now he says, let's fill them up. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Let there be lights in the sky and the heavens, of the heaven to divide the day from night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. God created time right here. Days and seasons and years and times. Gave us a moon. Goes around Earth once a month, 29 days about. That's how we do it. That's, we know the Earth goes around the sun once every year. We know the Earth rotates on its axis every 24 hours. He gave us a way. Time began here. In the beginning was the beginning of time for us. Before that, there was no time. There was no space. There was no matter. We now have time, we have space, and we have matter. God has created all three of those basic things of life that we take for granted or don't even want to think about. Verse 15, he said, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule at night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Now, you know, y'all, I've mentioned this before, and y'all have heard me tell this story. My son got his degree in aerospace engineering. He had to plan a trip to a far distant planet as his project. He and his classmates did. So they sent a rocket ship to the moon and circled it to be flung off, because instead of using fuel, they'd go to one planet and circle it and fling out to travel. I'm going, how'd you know where the moon was going to be? Well, we know that if we take off now, it's going to be here. This is the other location 3 days' time we get there. And I said, well, how'd you know that? Because God set it in place, and we depend on God's work. We depend on him setting that exact in ordinance. Those big balls out there, the earth is just hanging out in the middle of nowhere, hanging out in the middle of space. Try taking a ball and sitting in the air and see how long it stays for you. God set them up there in place. I can't imagine that. You look at me and think, how do they just sit there? And how do they stay in such perfect spot? They stay in such perfect spot, in perfect rotation, in perfect movement. We know where a planet's going to be 20 years from now because God set it in place. He put it in place here. And as we said, he set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And it was evening and morning of the fourth day. He's filled the sky now. Fifth day now, he said, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth. We're creating the fish and the birds. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And he also created every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And he blessed them, told them to be fruitful and multiply. And that were the evening and the morning of the fifth day. Then on the sixth day, he said, let's create animals for the earth, for the land. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind. Cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth, and God saw that it was good. There's a sermon in every one of these verses, and I'm going through because I have another more I want to talk to you about. And on the sixth day, beginning in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. We're talking about God. God is singular. Who's he talking about when he says, let us make man in our image? He got a mouse in his pocket? Who's the our and who's the us? God is manifested in more than one way. We know today that that's what we call the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we see it here very clear. We know God is more than one. Whatever it is, it's more than one. Let us make man in our image. After our likeness, Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, every creeping thing. The Lord gave us ability, the man, the one that has ability to have dominion over everything else on the earth. Go back in Genesis back to 1, we know in the beginning was God, so we know there was God. In verse 2, it said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we know we have the Spirit of God. So we know there's two when he says, and let us make man our own image. Where was two? Father, Son. Father and the Holy Ghost. Where was Christ? Well, he wouldn't come around till the New Testament, right? Well, we'll get to that in a minute too. But you keep that thinking about that. I want you to think this morning. Where was the Son of God in this scenario? God was there and the Holy Spirit was there. Where was the Son of God? Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female he created them, and he blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. It is on the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding fruit, so it shall be to you for meat, for food. I've given you vegetables and fruits and nuts for food. You don't see anything about animals here. There's no red meat mentioned here. Man wasn't eating red meat until later on. In first chapter of Genesis, man was vegan, eating only vegetables, no meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given thee herb for meat, and it was so. God put greenery upon the earth for animals and men, all the animals to eat. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The word very. He's finished making it off and filling it, and that was evening and morning of the sixth day. I had difficulty with the gap theory, because I see this right here at the end of verse 31, end of chapter 1. The gap theory that Satan somehow came down and destroyed earth in verse 2 and was here then and already creating trouble. I don't think the Lord would have found earth and heavens and seas very good if Satan were here. We know Satan came, and I preached on Satan about a year ago when he came and how he fell, and you can go over and read that in Isaiah chapter 14 or Ezekiel chapter 28, Revelations chapter 12. But if Satan came, he came after this, because I think it was very good. I think the gap there actually exists between chapters 2 and chapters 3 of Genesis. Chapter 2 goes into the second day, and I won't get into that, except I want to go over here in verse 5 of chapter 2, where it says, and every plant of the field that was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The water in the earth caused the mist to come up and watered all the fruits and all the trees. God didn't cause it to rain. When did he cause it to rain? First time he caused it to rain. Of course, remember, we've got this water firmament above. Still, we didn't talk about it. We got the heaven and we got the water below. It's water above. That's up there that we see that's going to be changed. That provided the protective covering for the earth for hundreds of years. That's why people lived so long. That's why Noah and all those people didn't have the sun damage like they did today. And they lived a long time, didn't have that kind of damage. The Lord blessed them through that. But if we have here the Lord created earth in 6 days, people will say, well, but those days were a million years each. I don't believe so. Over in Exodus, we're told that the days were 6 days. God created the earth in 6 days. If I can find my spot, I've got marked. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day, whereas the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord set up these days the same way we have us. He set up these days in line with the time he created the sun and the moon and the stars. He created the day as it was. And the day is used in the same context over there in Exodus as it is here in Genesis. I believe he created these in 6 24-hour days. And again, he created Adam and Eve. They were not children. They were both, I'm guessing, 16, 18, 19 years old. God created a 19-year-old man? Absolutely. Can he create a 400-year-old rock? Absolutely. Can he create oil underneath the earth that's already been made out of dead dinosaurs? Absolutely. Let me point out a couple of things on the rain. You see there where it didn't rain until we had Noah's Ark. Okay. Noah's Ark. And then he calls over in the seventh chapter of Genesis at Noah's Ark. He caused the sky, not only the skies to open up, but the fountains underneath the earth to open up. What had caused that mist before, now the fountains bubbled up and caused the earth to flood from the bottom. And also the waters that had been saved up here flooded the earth for 40 days. And that's what caused the great rain in that time. Another deal, let's talk about Adam and Eve. Adam was created, we know, over there at the end of chapter 1. Adam wasn't named until over here in verse 19 of chapter 2 when he called him and says, I want you to name all the animals, all the living creatures. And so Adam named them. At the end of chapter 2, the Lord put Adam to sleep and created him a helpmeet. And Adam woke up in verse 23 and he called this person woman because she's taken out of a man, called her woman. She's not called Eve until we get over here in chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. That's the first time Eve's name shows up is in chapter 4 after the fall in the garden. She's called woman before that. The wife of Adam or woman. All through the fall when Satan tempted them, she's known as the woman. Then you get over here to what I want to point out was in chapter 5, verse 2 verses. This is the book of the generations of Adam after the fall and after they've had their children. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. We're talking about God's original making of Adam. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. First time they got their name, Lord gave them both the name of Adam because they were one. They were taken from one and they are one. And that's where the Lord came up with this. When a man and wife marry, they become one. They're not two anymore. Man leaves his wife, mother and dad, and joins with his wife, and they become one. He blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Many times in the Bible, you see Adam is referring to that person, Adam, but here it's referring Adam as mankind. Lord gave both of them the name Adam, and Adam and Eve were one, and we know later on they were called separately from that. That's the basic laying of the foundation of the world, which you see in Genesis 1. And some of the unique things that the Lord has done. But he has created in the most powerful way and in the most majestic way this world and us in it and all the creatures. And you can, I wish you would take time and just think about all the creatures that crawl and all the creatures that run and all the wild animals and all the fish under the sea and all the wonders of our bodies. And all the brains that we have, we're the only ones that have the ability to think like we do and to heal our bodies and work on healing our bodies and to think about each other and to care for each other, all because of the Lord's work. It didn't happen by accident. You know, evolution takes place because of a multitude of things happening by chance, growing. There's no evolution here. This was God's creation. And it was good, perfect creation. I want to go back now to where I started, though, because this is what I want to get to and spend the rest of my time. In the beginning. In the beginning was the beginning of time as we know it. God created time when he created the sun and the moon and the stars so we could tell time. That's when he created time. There was no time before that. He created space. There was no space before that. He created matter when he created the earth and everything in it. He created time, space, and matter in Genesis 1 and 1. Did God exist prior to that? Yes. But there was no time, there was no space, and there was no matter. It was just him. God is eternal. If you go back with me to Revelations, those of you who have your Bible, you don't have to go, I'll get it to you. Revelations chapter 1, verse 8, where God said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. I'm here before, past, present, and future, except for Lord, there is no past and future. It's present. Remember when the Lord first appeared to Moses in the desert in the burning bush? You know, and Moses says, well, you know, just I will tell people I've seen you, but what do I tell them? He said, tell them that you have seen, I am that I am. I am. I'm not a God from the past or God from the future. I am. God has no time. That's hard for us to comprehend that God has no time. He says, you know, I am the great I am. If you understand the Lord has no time, then you understand what he was saying when he says, I am the I am. I am the Lord, and I am the only one. Psalms 90, first two verses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were ever brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is God, not was, not will be. He is God, always will be. Now we can't, I have a difficult time describing a situation in which there's no time and no space and no matter. But that's where God was. It was just God. Now who was with him? We know that the Spirit was with him because the Spirit was there on day one. We see that from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. We see that Genesis tells us that God, that the Holy Spirit was there and God was there. Where was Christ? He's the third part of that Trinity, but he wasn't there during the creation, you think? He wasn't born until the New Testament, so he couldn't have been there, could he? Do you remember when, back in the book of Daniel, when we had the three Jewish young men that were thrown in the fiery furnace, so hot, heated seven times normal, and they looked in and said, hey, we threw in three. The king looked in the door of the window of that furnace, and he said, I threw in three people. There's four in there now, and the fourth one is in the image of the Son of God. Jesus showed up in the Old Testament, didn't he? Remember, if you go read Peter tells us about when Moses struck on that rock in the wilderness when they were without water, and the Lord says, take your scepter and strike on the rock, and he struck on the rock his rod, and it brought forth water. Peter tells us, that rock which produced the water was Christ. Christ was in the Old Testament. When the Lord set Moses on the cleft of the rock, we're told that cleft was Christ. Now those are spiritual things, but we know Christ clearly was present in the furnace. But go with me now to John chapter 17. When Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. When did Christ come? Did he come just with his birth in the New Testament? Verse 4, when Christ is praying to the Lord before he's to be crucified the next day, he says, Lord, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Restore the glory that I had with you. Give me your glory again that I had with you before the world was. Christ said, I was with you back there before the beginning. I want to restore, please, it's time to restore me now to that same glory. Well, if he was back there in the beginning, what did he do? What was his job? Let's go back to the first chapter of John, book of John. First chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word. He's talking about Christ. In the beginning. Hey, we've already talked about that, haven't we? In the beginning, at the creation, in Genesis 1 and 1, at the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there from eternity also. He was there at the beginning. The same was the beginning with God. When he gets back and tells us in Genesis 1 and 1 that in the beginning, God is talking about God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But look what it says. Christ had a job there back in that Genesis 1 and 1. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What they're telling us here is Jesus was on that creation. Now, God said, let there be light, and let them, Lord, Jesus created that. The Spirit, we know, hovered over the darkness and brought spirit to the earth. We see here where it says that Christ actually made the things and made the world. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Again, Jesus. Where was Jesus when the world was being created? I'm going to go to verse 16, and it starts in the middle. But for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, for he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Christ was the workman back then. The God the Father did the creation, and the Holy Spirit was there, but Christ did the work in creating the world. That was his job. He was there from the beginning. One more place, and that's Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Well, I'll start with verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days, God spoke by prophets and fathers in the past, but hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The Lord had Christ do the work of making the world. So Christ was there from day one. That's why he shows up when anything needs to be done on earth. It's Christ the one that showed up to do it in that furnace and in that rock where they produced the water and in the cleft which protected Moses and in the cleft that protects us day to day. The reason when it came time to have a Savior, Christ was the one that came to earth, took on our shape and our form so that he could die for us and fulfill the law that his Father had made back in the Old Testament with Moses. Christ is the one that did all that. You know, all this is good, but what does this have to do with us? We know that in the beginning, before the beginning now existed, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three of them are there. Christ, God gave the command and the order, and Christ did the work creating the world, creating the heavens, creating the earth, creating everything we have in the firmament and all this majesty that we have. What does that mean to us? Are we involved in that? Were we around then? We weren't even born until nearly 6,000 years later. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9, God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Go back to Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, your name was already in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name was already in the palm of God's hand. He had you there. He had already foreknown you, he had already predestinated you, you to be called and to be glorified and justified. God laid out the whole plan for you from before the foundation of the world. Not only did he create us and create this magic place we live, but he loved you enough to take care of you then. He foreknew the sinners we were going to be, and he allowed his Son to come down here and die for us in his plan. He predestinated and had your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world even began. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He saved you from before the foundation of the world out of his love for you, according to his own purpose and good will. And he says, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, he has revealed it now to us what he did and why he did it. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that's what the ministry is about, is to give you knowledge. You've been saved since before the foundation of the world. Your name has been in the Lamb's Book of Life before then. The purpose of this book and the ministry to come into church and you're studying is to get knowledge of Him, so then you have the security. As Apostle Paul tells us, we don't have a doctrine of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. His power, when you go back and you study and you look at what He has done to create this world, and you really study that and try to comprehend it, I can't comprehend it. I can't get my mind around it. But what He's done for us, that's God, the power of God. And then for us men to think that we can somehow have some influence on deciding whether God's going to save us or not. If I try to scare you and tell you, you've got to do this to get to heaven, that decision was made 6,000 years ago plus. As Buzz Lightyear said, it was made in infinity and beyond. That decision was made a long time ago, that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lord loved you then before you were even born. As He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even in your mother's belly. He knew you before the foundation of the world. I'll close in the book of Revelations. Book of Revelations chapter 13. And it's talking about Christ again. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him. In the end times, all upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life from the book of life of the Lamb, slain from before the foundation of the world. Christ being slain, the book of life was written before the foundation of the world. Your names were in it, book sealed, not a name will come in or go out or be replaced or erased. Your name is there. It won't be open until the end of time when Christ Himself opens His book of life. And everybody He died for, He died from back before the foundation of the world. Every person in time. Christ didn't die 2,000 years ago. What about those 4,000 years before He was born and died? He died for all of them too, because their names were in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Christ came to fulfill that law and that legal requirement for us. The Lord loves us. We serve an almighty God. And I'm overwhelmed when I think about it. When I read this, I get caught up in this, and I haven't been able to convey it in the manner that I've been able to feel it from reading this. We serve a wonderful Lord and Master. He's already provided for your eternal salvation. He gives us the free will to do what we want to do here on this earth. And what should we do? We should praise Him, and we should glorify Him. That's honorable service for us. And it's not too hard to do, because He is about to give us the presence with Him for eternity when time and space and matter won't matter. We're going to get to spend eternity, because there'll be a time, as Peter tells us, when this earth is going to burn up in fervent heat, and we're all going to be in the presence of the Lord like Him in His glory, and we're going to be there in when there is no time again. We'll be there in eternity with Him, in the presence of Him, enjoying the same love as has existed from eternity and on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Y'all have been very kind to me with your attention.